Hello, this is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University's Strategic Communications. This is a Roundhouse podcast, and it is basketball season. We're going to talk with Bob Hull of Shocker Radio and Television Broadcasts. Shockers get started on Tuesday, October 29th, an exhibition game against Northeastern State out of, I think that's Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Did you ever play them when you were at Metro State, Bob, when you were the head coach there?
Never played. No. Never played in Oklahoma, Division II, but... They got a good coach, and he's won at a lot of places, so I imagine they'll be pretty good.
We are starting basketball on October 29th. It wasn't too long ago. It was kind of a December sport. How early did things get started?
Well, everybody started the same day with practice, October 15th. So everybody just started up at October 15th, and then everybody played right before Thanksgiving, I think, was about the first time you could play. And then there were some special TV games that went earlier and some tournaments that went earlier. And now it seems like earlier each year the season starts. So 29th, that's about as early I've ever seen it.
Yeah, we've added about a month to the basketball season in the not-too-distant past, so I guess that's a good thing. Let's talk about the Shockers coming up, 19-20. They're picked fourth in the American Athletic Conference. Seems like a pretty reasonable prediction for this group. Let's go back to the end of last season, last month, 4 or 5 weeks, when this team kind of figured it out. The NIT run, where they made it to the Final Four, got to Madison Square Garden. What did we see from the Shockers over that time period that is really going to carry over and help this team this season?
Well, I think you saw some freshmen and some junior college transfers finally figured out. They finally got where they had an understanding of Greg Marshall's system, and they knew how hard you had to play, how well you had to play to win against good competition. And that means taking care of the basketball, that means taking good shots, running your offense, playing good team defense. And they just got beat down at the first part of the conference schedule because they started off with a really, really tough start of the conference schedule, playing the top six teams right off the bat. So it took a while for them to get their feet on the ground, but I think Jamarius figured out how to play point. Dexter Dennis really got comfortable, started hitting outside shots. Echenique, Midgard inside, were coming into their own and really starting to figure out how to play and how to stay out of foul trouble. And then, of course, you had Marcus McDuffie and Samaje Haynes-Jones that were trying to lead these young guys trying to get them to mature quickly.
Won 9 out of their final 11 games, 6-game win streak that started on February 28th against UConn, also won at SMU, beat Temple, tough loss against Cincinnati in the tournament, and then beat Furman, Clemson, and Indiana in the NIT, in addition to beating Lipscomb. We could throw a bunch of numbers at you, but I think what you said, they really pretty dramatically cut down on their turnovers. They were pretty consistently, you know, around 10, 11, 12, or under, and really started playing better defense during that stretch. You mentioned Jamarius Burton, who I think was a real key, figuring out how to run the point. Really good at the pick and roll, really good getting to the basket, drawing fouls. What did you see from him during that time period where he really improved?
Well, they were trying to search for a point guard early in the season. Ricky Torres actually was the bet for most people that would play a point guard, you know, being a junior college transfer. But just couldn't figure out a way to get the ball in the basket. So none of the defensive teams were guarding him. So it kind of fell on Jamarius to run the point. And I thought, defensively and rebounding-wise, he really did a good job. But it took him a while to figure out the Greg Marshall system. And the point guard position under Greg Marshall is difficult. It's a very complicated system, and it takes a while to grasp it all. And he started figuring that out and started to run the offense like Coach Marshall wanted him to. And he started learning where to get the ball and when. And that's so important when you're playing point guard. You got to get the ball to the hot guy. You got to get the ball inside when you have advantage there. You got to get the ball to a hot shooter. And then you got to know when to play fast, and you got to know when to play slow. And I thought Jamarius really matured quickly that second half of the season, was playing as well as anybody down the stretch.
Yeah, he certainly did play well. He'll be an interesting guy going forward, too, because he can do so many things, I think, especially defensively. He can probably guard, you know, two or three positions pretty well. It'll be interesting to see how he continues to improve. You mentioned Marcus McDuffie, Samaje Haynes-Jones, both really important members of last season's team who've moved on. How do they replace those two guys? What's the challenge there?
Well, they went out and got some guards, and I think Coach Marshall is really excited about the guys that they signed, with Grant Sherfield and Noah Fernandez and Tyson Etienne. All three of those guys are talented freshmen that can all shoot the basketball, can all handle the basketball, and are smart players that can play defense. So I think the coaching staff is very excited about these freshman guards that they have, and they feel like the Shockers are going to be a better shooting team this year. And then I think the big question mark is going to be Marcus McDuffie's spot, the four spot. I think Trey Wade's probably the leading candidate right now, junior college transfer, about 6'6", long arms, can play inside, can play outside. I don't think he'll be the shooter outside that Marcus McDuffie was, but pretty athletic and does a good job around the basket, rebounding, defending, blocking shots, and runs the court real well. So that's going to be a key to this season is who can step up and fill that four spot, because Marcus McDuffie had a tremendous senior year last year.
He really did, definitely. That brings us right into the front court, which I think should be a real strength for this team. They're so deep there. I wouldn't call them super experienced, because you're still dealing with a lot of sophomores, a lot of people kind of still relatively new to Division I basketball. But boy, you've got a lot of big bodies there. What's your view on the front court, and what kind of an asset that can be for the Shockers?
Well, if you look at some of Greg Marshall's best teams here at Wichita State, he seemed to always have a group of big guys and kind of played center by committee. There would be two or three guys that would rotate in and out. It was always effective because they could play really aggressively and not have to worry about getting in foul trouble. And I think you might see that again this year with Echenique, one of the few seniors on the team. I think maybe the only senior on the team. And then you got Asbjorn Midgard, who's coming back. He finished really strong last season and really came on late in the season, doing a great job of setting picks and running the pick and roll. And Poor Bear Chandler, I think, has looked really good in practice to me. I think he's really improved. He's slimmed down. He's quicker, shooting the ball well outside, and starting to figure out the system a little bit more.
Yeah, he can be part of the answer at the four spot, the power forward.
Possibly. They could play two big guys. They could go 6'11", 6'9", because Poor Bear's got that outside shot. He's quick enough to guard a four-man, and that's a good point. He might be playing four spot, but we'll see. And Morris Udeze's back, so and he's giving another big body that can rebound and defend. And so they've got a lot of depth and some experience inside.
That's what I like about it. You mentioned it, foul trouble is not gonna kill them. Somebody sprains an ankle and misses a game or two is not gonna kill them, just because they do have so many bodies in there. Echenique, in the practices that I've seen, has stood out quite often. Really confident, really aggressive. What have you seen him coming into his senior year?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, because that's the one guy, Dexter Dennis and Jaime Echenique, I think, are two guys that could really have outstanding years. Echenique just, when you come in from junior college, you got a lot to learn, and usually you don't see junior college guys really get very effective until the second semester of their junior year, and Jaime certainly did that after he got over his injuries, and he was a force down the stretch. He was definitely tough to stop inside, but from what I've seen in practice so far, Echenique is going to have a really good senior year. He's playing with a lot of confidence. He wants the basketball. He can score in a lot of different ways. He can go over his left shoulder, right shoulder. He can step out and hit the jump shot. He's even hit some three-pointers last year. So I'm looking for him to have a really, really good year.
And when he got going last year, was that real? Definitely coincided with when Wichita State kind of got rolling there. He had 17 against Memphis. He had 13 at Tulane, 14 at Eastern East Carolina, 16 and 10 at Furman in the NIT, and 18 at Clemson in the NIT. So he did indeed finish strong. You know, you're always, it seems like big men and foul trouble kind of go together. I've written hundreds of stories about, you know, big guys and how do they avoid fouls. Experience seems to help that. What's been your view about what changes maybe going from a junior to a senior? You've been through it. You learn how to avoid fouls.
Well, if you think back to Garrett Stutz and how often he was in foul trouble his freshman and sophomore season, and Shaq Morris
was another one. Yep.
You know, name any of the big guys, and they were constantly in foul trouble their freshman and sophomore years, and then slowly they learned how to play. You've got to learn how to play defense before your man gets the ball. You got to learn positioning and not let the offensive guy catch it where he can hurt you. So that's a big part of it. Being smart and learning what the referees call, what they don't call. And the good ones, they get talking to the referees. And Shaq got good at that his senior year, started talking to referees and talking with them and asking them what he could do, what he couldn't do. And instead of fighting the referees, work with them. And I think as you get to be a senior, I think you start to get the respect of the referees as well. And I think you get some calls that maybe you don't get as a freshman or sophomore. And I think that was the case with Garrett Stutz. He had a really great senior year and wasn't in foul trouble nearly as often as he was earlier. And Shaq Morris had a great senior year. So I see the same thing with Echenique this year, if he can stay healthy. Now, he's got those feet. Has a problem with plantar fasciitis, and he's got to keep those feet healthy because that's the only thing that stopped him last year.
Yeah, he played maybe 18, 19, 20 minutes a game last year. You'd really like to be able to bump him up, not because you have to, because they got plenty of depth, but I think because he will be so effective, if you get him up more, 24, 26, some nights even more than that, I think that would be a good thing. Let's go to the backcourt. We've got Jamarius Burton back. Dexter Dennis, I guess, is kind of a swing person between the front court and the back court. Eric Stevenson is back. And then the freshman that you mentioned. How do you view the back court for the Shockers?
Well, I think they're going to be a much better shooting back court this season. That was the big problem, especially the first couple of months of the season last year, is that the Shockers just really had a hard time knocking down outside shots consistently. And so teams packed in on them and made it very difficult. But I think with a year's experience, Jamarius Burton's shot looks much better. He worked really hard on it in the offseason. He's putting a lot more arch on his shot, and it looks like a better shot. And Eric Stevenson never really shot it like he can shoot it last year. He did have some good ball games late and in the NIT, but he shot I think 28% from three last year, and you know, he's a guy that should probably shoot, you know, 38, 39% from three. He's got that kind of shot, so look for him to really improve his shooting. And of course, he's an aggressive guy that loves to rebound, loves to defend. So I don't think you're going to see more of that this year, but he's going to be stronger and more experienced. Of course, Dexter Dennis, I think he's one of the top players in the league. He really showed it in some of the ball games last year where he was just unstoppable, brought the Shockers back at Cincinnati, made game winners at Tulane, and he had some really outstanding games. He's going to get a lot of attention from the other team's defense this season. Just an outstanding shooter, and I think that the thing he worked on in the offseason was working on putting the ball on the floor and adding maybe some different moves to his offense so guys won't maybe crowd him so much. So look for Dexter to be driving the basketball more this year and going to the basket. And then, of course, we talked about Jamarius. You know, he's got a year under his belt, so I would expect he'll probably step in and start at point guard, although there's a couple of guys that could take over there. If the coaching staff wants to move Jamarius down to the two spot or three spot, then I think Grant Sherfield is probably the guy leading the way right now. He's a really smart kid that he has a lot of confidence, can get his own shot, is very good at penetrating, and is a really good outside shooter. I'm really impressed with him. And although he's been hurt, before he hurt his foot, Noah Fernandez was really playing well in practice, and the coaches were very high on him coming in and playing a lot of time at point guard this year. Very smart, very heady player. Really seemed, both those guys seemed to pick up the offensive system really quickly. I was really surprised. And then Tyson Etienne is he's a kid, he's a freshman, Jen, looked like a freshman. He's big, he's strong, he's very vocal, talks a lot in practice, talks a lot in the scrimmages, and can defend, can shoot from the outside, handles the ball. Just a complete player that a freshman that doesn't look like a freshman. I think the Shocker fans are really going to like him.
That was one of the first things that struck me when I started watching practices was how much you heard Tyson talk, and that's not usual for a freshman. But boy, he is really a confident kid. People around the team really seem to like him. I was talking to one of the older guys on the team, and I said, yeah, everybody talks about how mature Tyson is, and his response was, yeah, he's probably the most mature guy on the team. I think he's really, like you said, I think people are really going to enjoy watching him.
Yeah, all three of those guys, Noah, Grant, and Tyson, are all very confident, smart guards, and I think all of them are going to play a lot this season. Tyson's probably the most vocal guy and probably has the most personality, most outward personality.
Noah, the description people always gave me, and I haven't seen him a whole lot since he has been out, but he's just described as the pure point guard. He's the guy that makes everybody around him better. So he'll be fun to watch when he gets back out there. I don't know what you thought, but when you would watch Wichita State last year, you thought that was the place that Wichita State needed to get better. You know, last year the backcourt, they were young for the most part, and when, you know, Cincinnati, real experienced, physically mature guards. Houston, the same way. I'm sure the thought is with this new group and with the other one, with the ones coming back, Wichita State's moving more in that direction of, you know, better, more mature, more physically capable guards.
Yeah, going into last year, you know, think about it. Think back to the off season. They lost six seniors. And then Landry Shamet goes pro. And he would have been one of the top players in the league coming back at point guard. So you lose an all-league, first-team, all-league player at point. Now he's gone. And then you lose your top point guard recruit because Memphis lets Tubby Smith go and hires Penny Hardaway, and he takes the Shockers' best recruit at point guard. So they go scrambling and look for a junior college transfer. They get Ricky, and although Ricky had a lot of good ball handler, really nice kid, just had a hard time getting the ball in the basket, so defenses weren't covering him. So the Shockers were looking for a point guard that first month or two. They tried Samaje, but he was more comfortable too. They tried Ricky, but he couldn't knock any shots down. And then eventually Jamari has kind of won the point guard spot, and they moved Samaje over to two guard. But it took a couple of months to get there, Paul, and so that they were struggling with that. Playing a very tough schedule while they were struggling with that.
Yeah, I really like the direction of the backcourt. I'm sure there will be some ups and downs when you're going to have some freshmen playing, but I think with Eric and with Jamarius, they've got enough experience there that I think it should end up being a really good mix at some point in the season. Let's talk about the schedule. Last year's tough schedule, this year much more favorable, especially the amount of home games the Shockers start out. They don't play a true road game until December 8th at Oklahoma State. They do go down to Mexico for the Cancun Challenge, where they play South Carolina late November, and then either Northern Iowa or West Virginia. So it's really a schedule set up for, you know, to help a team that is still growing, still building. It's really set up to help them get things together, I would say.
Good point. You know, last year it was really – it was tough. I mean, they got bushwhacked by Louisiana Tech in that first game. They had a bunch of seniors, and it was just a really veteran team, got knocked off at home. And then you go to you go on the road at the Naval Academy and play Providence. And then you got to go to Charleston, and of course throw in Oklahoma games. And it was a tough, tough schedule last year, not to mention the start of the conference season. So this year, much better. They've got five home games. They could win all five. You got Omaha, Texas Southern, UT Martin, Gardner-Webb, Oral Roberts, all home games before you go to Cancun. And that'll be tough with South Carolina, and then either play Northern Iowa or West Virginia. So, but then they come back, Central Arkansas, and a couple of tough games after that at Oklahoma State, and then Oklahoma at home at the Intrust Bank Arena game, and then VCU. So there'll be some rough week and a half right there.
Yeah, they've really got, you know, they'll be able to kind of ramp up until that December stretch. playing Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and then a really good VCU team. That'll be a key stretch before they get into the conference play. All right, well, the Shockers are just about ready to get going. We've got exhibition game Tuesday, October 29th, regular season opener, November 5th, against Omaha. Bob will be there for all of it. Bob, thanks very much for your time.
You bet. My pleasure.